called Dangerfield on 101.5 The Hawk FM. I'm Mary, and tonight my guests are Carlin Nicholson and Neil Quinn from the band Zeus. Zeus has released three albums and an EP since 2009. They also were the backing band for Canadian musician Jason Collette. They've been described as Zeus draws upon classic influences to craft timeless songs, complete with fuzz guitars and shimmering three-part harmonies, classic rock and roll with a touch of twang. So welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thanks for joining. It's super fun. We haven't chatted in a while, so I look forward to catching up. So why don't we start off the show with a song of yours called off the album Busting Visions called Are You Gonna Waste My Time? And then we'll come back and we'll chat.
Right on.
Cool.
Time by the band Zeus off their 2013 album Busting Visions. Tonight I'm joined with Carlin and Neil. And so guys, this album was written up, you earned accolades from the New York Times, Rolling Stone, Spin, NPR, the whole deal. But there's actually some great video footage of you guys singing this with Mr. Randy Bachman. So can you tell us a little bit about that? Carlin, maybe you can start about, it was called Reworking Randy?
Yeah, Reworking Randy. I think there were some other bands that did it too. And we were basically just, I think it was the kind of thing where you just pick a Guess Who song and then, go in and jam it with Randy. And Neil had one in mind right away. So we thought, great, let's do it. And we hit it off. Randy came to the studio after too, and we jammed on some stuff, and we didn't really come out with anything too notable, but we did have a nice time and we got some really cool ideas down. And I don't know, I had a lovely time. How did you do with it, Neil?
Yeah, it was great. It was so interesting to have a guy like Randy come into our studio all of a sudden it was just like, oh, hi there, Meg Star.
And so,
welcome to our garage.
How did you, like, did he prep for it? Like, how did you figure all that out? Like, did he play it well? It sounded like he was having a good time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how prepped. I mean, he must just know the tunes. And, like, I think there must have been a list of songs or something that we were sort of supposed to pick from or something like that. But, I mean, you know, Randy's awesome. He knows his stuff. And, like, by no means was it the kind of thing where it's like, let's try and pull off, like, some sort of a mirror image of a recording or anything like that. I think it was just sort of, let's see where these guys take this tune and I'm just going to, you know, play along. And that's pretty much how it went off. We had a lot of fun working out the harmonies, and it's, what was the tune again, Neil?
Yeah, we did laughing.
And so you guys mentioned that he came to your studio. So you have a studio called Ill Eagle Studio. And it's quite legendary. You've made some great albums there. Everyone from the Golden Dogs to Jason Collette to your own band. Are you still in the same location, Carlin, or has it moved?
No, we moved and we changed our name to Pine Ship. We have a big old console that we put all of our equipment in, and we decided to sail it to the front and load it with gear. And so we call the place Pine Ship now. But we're as rocking as ever, you know, like we're really fortunate to have a space, and, you know, not a day goes by when we don't, when we aren't thankful for having our own spot. We've always been really lucky as a band to have, a space that we can not only feel, not feel the pressure of studio time ticking away, which can be super costly, but also just sort of a home base, a clubhouse kind of thing. It's an amazing feeling for, you know, any bands that have that type of situation. It's obviously not crucial necessary, but for us, it's always been just part of the way that we work. So we got into a lovely new place with a very lovely landlord named John, and we are just over the moon with the place. You know, the equipment's nice. We're getting a new tape machine in really soon, so it's good things for us and for our music and for, you know, other people's music who's coming to. We're going to be in with she had a band called Chloe Doucette had a band called Side Hustle, which she is no longer, but she's been working hard on tunes, and we're going to have her in very shortly. So that's going to be a really fun one too. You know, anybody who appreciates the tape machine, we'll fire it up for them.
what's the process like? So when you get your own space like that, and you're doing your layout and stuff, are you influenced by maybe studios that you've read about or been to? Like, how do you kind of map that out?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think we bring in our experience, you know, what's worked for us in the past, and you know, obviously making this space just feel good is kind of the key thing, but we're also not super precious, you know. It always just kind of turns into our place, and it always, no matter which space we're in, it always just feels like our place anyways. But we certainly do, you know, look at other studios and just see what other folks are doing in terms of like sound reinforcement and just cool ideas. And Mike's really great at that, at pulling up picks and just like, look how cool, look how sick this looks and stuff like that. But, you know, always striving to get better. It's an endless journey in terms of like what equipment to use, and what you think you need one month might not be what you needed at all. But it's kind of like just the tone quest, the ever quest. And you know, the latest thing now is, like I say, we're getting this tape machine in there, which we're very excited about. So there always seems to be something else, something new-ish that we're sort of excited to play with, to try out, to just sort of keep the ideas fresh and keep the creativity flowing, you know.
And is that where your band rehearses as well?
Yeah, we rehearse there too. Other bands rehearsed there as well, just like bands from our sort of circle of friends also do their rehearsals too. It's a total multi space, you know. It's a total multi space, and it's you know, something that I would never ever take for granted, you know.
And so you guys are actually playing a show this Friday at Lee's Palace. So Neil, when was the last time that you played a live show?
Zeus performed in, it was a winter festival in BC. I believe it was January 24th, 2020. And we flew out, you know, and COVID was like around. And I remember thinking, like, man, like, I don't want to be getting on an airplane and like flying out towards where the numbers are higher. I'm very scared, but it was fine. You know, we went and did a gig, and we know we none of us really knew what was coming, you know, but there was the looming possibility of, you know, possibly stuff getting shut down. None of us really knew what was going to happen, but I remember thinking, oh man, this is good.
You guys, how do you come up with your set list? So have you already mapped it out for Friday, or how do you come up with them?
It's kind of like every cluster of shows that we do, there's usually one kind of like master list that kind of comes out of, like, you know, whether like depending on what new songs we do, or you know, if we came across like something you know, a list of songs that felt good in succession during a rehearsal or something. And then we usually make adjustments from there. You know, Carlin will just come up to us sometimes and just be like, boom, here's a list. And then we'll look at it and be like, that's what happened today. We looked at it and we were like, hey, okay, looks great.
And how much do you guys kind of like jam out during your performances? Like, are you the type of people that you play kind of strictly what you rehearse, or do you kind of like explore the songs when you play them live?
Kind of a blend. I think some songs take on a thing. Like, there's definitely some songs that are just like, that's the song and that's how we play it every single time. And then there's other tunes that have areas in it. I know there's one of Neil's called Strong Mind that in the middle of it, it's always a question mark. We don't know what's going to go on in that spot ever. It's just kind of like, let's just play it. And it never really matters. It's always something rocking and cool and fun and whatever. Mike has one called, not Damien's Waste. we have nicknames for all of our songs.
You do?
And this one's called The Renegade.
Oh, well, let's listen to The Renegade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got caught up again. You're the one who brought the renegade.
was The Renegade by Zeus. Neil and Carlin joined me tonight. If you want to find their music, you can find them at instagram.com/themusicofzeus as well. Speaking of kind of set lists, you guys organized a Sloan tribute at the Horseshoe Tavern that had about about 40 different musicians play. And I think you played about 27 songs. What's your favorite Sloan song to play? Maybe Neil, you start, and then Carlin.
I really liked, I think, did we do Snowsuit Sound with Jay on that set that we did with him?
Yep.
Yeah, I really liked playing Snowsuit Sound.
Carlin?
Actually, no, Junior Panthers, that was the one I liked.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Junior Panthers, that's a beauty. Oh man, my highlights were, I really loved having to lift us, the one that goes, I can't believe your plane is that, seems so heavy.
Okay.
That's cool too.
Yeah, and so did you
guys have toured with Sloan. Were you a fan of them when you were younger?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
And so what was that like? What's that experience like when you kind of look up to or like musicians and then share a stage with them? Who's the band that kind of like made you the most in awe when you played with them at like a festival or something like that?
Oh my gosh. I mean, Sloan for me, when I was young, it was like basically Sloan, the Beatles and the Beach Boys were my mainstay.
No way.
I was really drawn to Chris's bass playing and, I don't know. I mean, we went to like Intimate and Interactive at Much Music when that was Mike and I were just like the hugest. I didn't know Neil back then, so I can't say, but I'm pretty darn sure he was a big Sloan fan too.
I was.
Yeah. And now to be buddies with them is, it's crazy. Well, I mean, I wouldn't say all of them, but we're, you know, at least with some of them, but they're just the sweetest dudes. And you know, we're just, I don't know. It's an amazing thing. It's really an amazing thing to grow up having just idolized these dudes, like, and just try, like, I remember going to the video shoot for Everything, Not Everything You've Done Wrong. It was Jay's song.
Oh yeah, that one's great tune.
You know what's kind of funny is like you guys, I think of songs as the music and not necessarily the themes. It's kind of a funny observation.
Yeah, we've always done that. We just, you know, the ones of great one.
It's so
do you guys have a song that you play only at rehearsal and never live?
Good question.
Yeah, it's called the Rocking Man.
Rocking Man, yeah. I'd say. We do have some jokey, we have some goofy tunes that only come out during rehearsal, but I'd say, you know, we bring the good stuff to the people for sure.
Right.
We were working on a cool riff today, I thought.
That's right.
And so you guys have obviously toured a lot. You've toured Europe, Canada. You've been down to the States.
Australia.
What do you listen to in the van?
Oh, man. We went for a big Michael McDonald trip.
You're kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy, like too much.
How much Michael McDonald is there?
Well, I don't know. It was pretty much just one song over and over.
Yeah. Yeah. We went cool with
Wild 2. Chicago was a big one.
Yeah.
Whatever's going, you know what I mean? Like, I don't even know. I'm like,
yeah, we've had a lot of stuff.
Whatever stuff comes out, like, at the time,
Ooh. You
know what I mean? We'll just kind of dig into it. You know, I remember being on tour when the first Arcade Fire record came out, and it was like driving through the prairies, and I was just like, sort of dawned on me how insane this record is, and like our first time listening through it, and we're just like, oh, this record is shit hot. We're just like, oh my God.
I remember like the first time I heard it, like where I was, like my friend was from Montreal and we got it at Soundscapes. And I remember we were driving through Kensington and I was like, what is this? Like it was.
Yeah. Like, why is this so insane? And sure enough, you know, they obviously went on to become Canadian royalty. But it's little moments like that. I remember Prairie Wind, Neil Young, when that came out.
Yeah.
Similar situation. I know it sounds so cliche, but we were actually in the prairies driving across the country on our way to Calgary or something like this. And I just remember falling just deeply in love with that record. It's funny with music. It's like, for me, it reminds me of a place so much. I always remember where I was. It's kind of like a recording session is like, you don't remember what equipment you used or like, you know, what you had for lunch that day, but you just remember what it felt like that day. You remember what the energy was.
What song would you say differs the most between how it was recorded versus how you play it live?
Yeah, good question. Hey, what do you think, Neil?
Yeah, this is a good question. Gee, do we have one that's like a really different version of something?
Well,
I'm trying to think, we have.
Where's My Love is a little bit different, just in terms of like it was yeah. A song that recorded a long time ago, and we put it on the record. Also, Greater Times on the Wayside is another one where we do play it the same as it is on the record, but the way it was recorded and just the fact that it was just so old. I don't know if many people know that, but Neil dug those tunes out from the old archive.
Right, Major Grange, right?
Yeah, well.
It was during that era.
Might have even been before Major Grange.
Yeah, it was that.
Crazy long time ago.
No, it was around the. Yeah, it was during that time period when we were doing the Major Grange band, and then Dave and Taylor had the recording set up in the basement. And they were doing like the William Del Rey stuff and
right.
And the Greater Times on the Wayside, that was on Stu's machine, I think.
Wow.
And then and then the other one was on D-Rips's rig. And so that's the thing about those recordings is they're like, sometimes the recording's hard to reproduce because it's such like a vibe. Like people may be playing the same parts on the instruments, but it's the way that it all kind of sounds in the recording that can't be reproduced. So it's, yeah, there's a couple of tunes probably like that where it's just the live experience kind of is a different feeling.
So Neil, can you tell us a little bit about when you guys sang the Blue Jays song? Kind of a wild story. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. You know, we were... it was, I think it was the 2015 season, Carlin, was it?
Good question. I'm bad with numbers, but I do know the Jays were playing like as we were.
It was 2015, yeah.
Yeah, it was the ALS.
And so you guys changed the lyrics, I think, to the song to kind of fit.
That is funny. The guys who got mad at us for changing the lyrics.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
One of the guys did.
The other guy, I think he's just off the grid. But, like, it was just, like, we didn't go crazy. We changed the name of the team to the team they were playing this year. Like, and it was Mike's call. He was just, like, this really shouldn't be, like, Atlanta. This should be whoever. Like, it was, like, whoever we're playing this year. Like, makes sense, right? But, no.
You think so.
And didn't you have, like, the guy who wrote it, like, son? Or something.
He was there. He was an intern in the studio that day as a completely just coincidental thing.
That's weird.
That is super random. So in 2010 you were nominated for the Polaris Prize and you also won XM The Verge's Award for Album of the Year. You won $25,000. What did you do with the money?
Bought a van.
Nice. Well, let's listen to Hello Tender Love off that album. And then
we'll
chat.
Took a long time to get where I'm going. Oh, holy matters of the heart. Misery from the start. Left alone in a hurry, so I wouldn't rain down on you. My lot is worry, honey. How about you? Throw it all away. Make a home for you. Tell me all those good things. I'd no reason to doubt you. Cause you were sweet as candy. You were there the last time I dated. Sugar still don't need the thing. Be in your arms. Arms I would need to sing. Every morning I'll wake you whispering. Be taken, you stay in a dream. There's no reason for the in between. When you put your head back and you put your hands down, oh, we feel it all. Hello, tender love, I'm on fire. You knew, and I knew, cause when you kiss me I see ghosts, I see through, throat in hand, choke love, you get a dead net burning with the stars above.
Hello, Tender Love by the band Zeus. Tonight on Dangerfield 101.5 The Hawk, I'm joined with Carlin and Neil from that band. You can find them on Instagram at The Music of Zeus. So guys, you also, so the album called Questing Visions, you have, the deluxe edition has like a plethora of covers at the end. So you have covers of Michael Jackson, Stone Temple Pilots, Big Star, R. Kelly, Genesis, SRB, and the Flaming Lips. So was that kind of like an accumulation of covers that you had loved to play over the years, or was it specifically kind of put together for that release?
A little bit of both, I guess. It was, I think it was like a project we wanted to try, and then just sort of, you know, realized that we had a bunch of tunes over the years that we've sort of always wanted to give it a go. And we had done that Phil Collins one on our first record. So I think we were trying to sort of maybe snatch up a little bit more of that magic. Whether we did or not, I don't know. But we had a lot of fun. And, you know, I hope we picked some tunes that maybe were unexpected. And, you know, maybe some versions of tunes that, you know, did the world need another version of Stone Temple Pilots' Vaseline? Probably not. But, you know, did we want to do it that day?
No.
And was there one?
And have we performed it a couple of times? Yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
I actually, yeah. Well, let's listen to the Ballad of Joe by Big Star that you guys.
Yeah, that's probably the takeaway from that one.
Cool.
Years ago, my heart was set to live. Oh, and I've been trying hard against unbelievable odds. Get so hard at times like now to hold on. My guns, they wait to be stuck by, and at my side is God. Fall if I don't fight.
was The Ballad of El Guru, originally written by Big Star and covered by Zeus. And Carlin and Neil join me tonight on Dangerfield. So speaking of covers, what is one that maybe you each play, but you wouldn't agree upon maybe releasing? Like, do you guys have guilty pleasure songs?
Yeah. Our boundaries are really, really wide, honestly. Like, and we were always like the dudes that people would call when they were getting married and stuff. And,
yeah.
And so like we would play Heart, and we would also play like Randy Travis, I'm Gonna Love You Forever. And like, I love both of those songs. And, for the most part, I will play anything, you know, and I mean, aside from, you know, there's many, many songs obviously that I despise that I wouldn't do. But I mean, as far as like people thinking like, oh, that song's corny or anything like that. Like, we did, You're the Inspiration with Neil on vocal one time, which was so wicked. I met Heart there. We did that one, the Magic Man, with my wife, Crystal, on lead vocal. And it just destroyed. Oh, the most hilarious time was when we did the Doobies, coming back to the Doobies now, Fool Believes. And we did it at one of these nights, and I wish I could remember the guy's name. He was a really sweet dude, and he put on amazing shows, but it was at Opera House. And it was completely riddled with the youngest kids. And there's no way they knew, like, I don't think they knew any Zeus songs, first off, let alone Fool Believes by the Doobie Bros. And we had our awesome, awesome buddy Amos come out thing. Lead vocal, and did a duet with Mike, and we played Fool Believes like note for note, and they just ate it up.
There's actually like a YouTube site that I've seen where they play kind of like classic hits to this guy, and he kind of like listens to them for the first time. Like, it's
oh yeah, I've seen that. That's so funny,
right?
Yes.
And so what was kind of like, Who's your favorite? Who are each of your favorite kind of like musicians? Like, I think you said Carlin, Beatles. What was the other one? You said Beatles something. And
when I was a teenager, it was Beatles, Beach Boys, Nirvana, New Kids on the Block, and Sloan. Like, that was me.
Have you seen them all live?
I have seen. No, actually, I've only seen Sloan live out of that list.
Really?
Never got to see the Beach Boys. Never got to see Nirvana. That was one of my big sort of fails, I think. I really wish I would have gone and seen Nirvana. But I did get to see Radiohead twice a couple years ago, and that was my first time ever seeing them. I saw them back-to-back, the Montreal show and then the Toronto show. And
they were incredible. I remember seeing them at the Sky Dome, and someone, like, collapsed kind of, like, in the front of the stage. And, like, he stopped the show, and he's like, pointed, and they got the person out, and then he was like 3, 2, 1, and they went right into like the middle of this totally like intricate song. Like, it was, they're really incredible live.
Oh, they're insane.
Neil, who were your kind of favorites?
Man, yeah, my favorites, like, well, the Beatles was always a huge one, you know. That was kind of like massive whenever they kind of came into my life. And they were the reason that I picked up the guitar, you know. But before that, you know, it was kind of like a lot of like whatever my brothers were listening to. And like Depeche Mode, I always liked them for some reason a lot when I was a kid. And I still do to this day because they rip, you know. Let's see here. I'm bad on the spot sometimes, and I haven't had to think about this in a long time. But, you know, Sloan, it was interesting because my older brother liked them in like 93, 94, whenever I was kind of too young to know. And I remember when the Coax Me music video came out, and I was like, what am I looking at? But then like 3 or 4 years later, it was like, oh, sick. These guys are the best. And then they had come out with like some new material, and like by that time my brother was like, oh, these guys are still going, oh, that's cool, I guess, that's, oh wow, okay, that's cool. And I had that album with Losing California on it. And I remember just freaking out about that thing. And apparently they hate that record.
And how do you feel about greatest hits albums? Like, do you think that they kind of should exist or shouldn't?
I don't know.
I always like to get the records myself, like the actual album.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's anything wrong with accumulating things. I think it's kind of an exciting idea, you know, for an artist to be able to sort of look at their career and say, well, heck, there's lots of really cool tunes and right. You know, whatever. And frankly, if it's, you know, the difference between a person not wanting to deep dive through an album or not discovering the artist at all, then I would say, I think it's great. You know,
that's exactly
collection. Right. Like, for instance, if I didn't know, if I was trying to introduce somebody to the Guess Who, let's say,
right.
I mean, to me, there's certainly, like, you know, the few key records that would be the place to start, you know, but probably I would steer them in the direction of a compilation to start and just sort of get your bearings that way. And if you want to go deeper, then by all means.
And do you each have favorite album art of vinyl that you own or have seen?
Favorite album art? I mean, Revolver has always been one of my favorite album covers ever.
Yeah. Let's play another song of yours. Let's play. Let's see here. Let's play 27 is the New 17.
Okay.
Ago, I sat alone with a bottle of wine to ease my mind and have fun within. Had a cigarette for my dinner. There's no truth in what they tell me. Too many nights I spent alone calling you up on the telephone and I'm tired of it. Feel like I'm being waited out. My pride is gonna kill me. I spent a long time calling you up on the telephone. I'm tired of it. I'm not crazy about anything or anyone. You know, I'm just crazy. 24, you just don't know how it is. Tomorrow you'll be taking the piss. 27 is the new 17. All the younger guys that know what I mean. Yeah, with you. Play on. Yeah, with you, I know. Never play on. Yeah, with you, I know. It'll never play on.
That was 27 is the new 17. What are you most looking forward to about playing live again?
I think just being with the boys, it, to me, is the best.
And what's each of your favorite songs to play of your repertoire live? Carlin, you start and then Neil.
In the whole repertoire?
Yeah.
Well, I'd say of my tunes, I always love playing Lovin' a Game. It's one of my favorite ones.
Yes.
Or favorite. My other favorite's actually shaping up to be one of Neil's new ones. That's a brand new one in the set, Candy. And Mike's got one called Kicking Up the Dust that's been really fun.
And Neil, what about you?
I would have to agree with Carlin on Love in a Game. That's one of his tunes. I always have an absolute blast playing that tune. It's a great song. There's one of Mike's tunes called Throwdown. I've really been enjoying that. It's going to be on our new record. And that one always feels pretty darn good. And I guess I'll pick one of my ones that I like that the boys do. And let's see here. Candy does sound pretty good. But as far as all-time favorites is concerned, I think the boys do a pretty bang-up job on Kindergarten, actually.
Yes.
Well, let's listen to Love in a Game, and then we'll come back and we'll chat, okay?
All right.
Game by Zeus, and they join me tonight on Dangerfield. So guys, what's next for you guys? Are you recording? Are you making new music? What's going on?
We're pretty close on a full-length album. We've got everything pretty much done, and we need to finalize mixes on maybe four or five of them or so, and but we've got some cool folks helping us out this time around. Neil has what's that gent's name, Neil?
Jeremy Greenspan.
Yes.
Mixing voice. A tune.
And so, do you mix as well?
Yeah, we mix our stuff too. We like to hear other people's ideas, though. You know, like Gus Van Gogh is going to try his hand at one as well, and you know, we sit around and we tinker. I mean, I love, I'm fascinated by sound. It's always been a passion of mine. And over the years, I've been lucky enough to work with some of the most amazing dudes that are very generous with their knowledge. And I've tried to pick up as much knowledge as I can. And, you know, eventually getting to a place for the Classic Zeus record where I was able to actually take on mixing myself, which was the first full length record that I ever mixed, was that album. And I've mixed many records since then, but it's an endless journey that I love. And it can be frustrating, and you have to be willing to just say, you know, redo, and that's just it. It's like, you know, there's sometimes moments where you're kind of like, oh my God. But then when you get it, you know it. And there's this strange sort of, I know it doesn't seem like an adrenaline sport, but there's a strange adrenaline that cuts through when you're close and you feel like you're getting that mix the way you want it to be. And oh my God, my printer's going off. And the feeling you get listening later on at home, after having listened to rough mixes for so long and starting to see the album take shape is a magical feeling that I never, ever get tired of.
Well, cool. So we're coming up on time here. So I just want to say thanks so much for joining me tonight. That was really fun. And awesome. Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
I look forward to seeing you guys again in person and hearing the new music. It's awesome.
Yeah, maybe we'll be down at Lee's Palace on Friday.
Sounds good. Okay. Have a great night, guys.
Hey, bye, Mary.
You too.
Bye,
bye, Mary.
broadcasting from Hamilton. This is a Mohawk College Radio Corporation